from the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, February 13th, 2025. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get today's blogcast launched properly with
the Daily Datagram.
There you go. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. There's a simple old saying here. Fools rush in. How about that? Yes, they do. Fools do rush in, and they end up getting the best seats.
Ooh, I like that.
Now, let's move along to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted history.
Oh, boy.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
So I heard.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Boy.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Is that so?
You might be quizzed.
Sure, yeah. Like that's going to happen. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1981. This is so bizarre. A series of sewer explosions destroyed more than 2 miles of streets in Louisville, Kentucky. And in addition to freaking out hundreds of people, it's believed that several alligators were killed in the incident. I guess that's not too surprising. And it was on this day in 2004, the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics announced the discovery of the universe's largest known diamond, white dwarf star BPM 37093. Yeah, astronomers named this star Lucy after the Beatles song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. They only did that just to prove that they were hip, cool, and what's happening now.
If you want to blend into a crowd of drunken Greeks, there's nothing better.
If you're like me, you don't watch any of the awards shows because they're very boring. And they have very little to do about the awards and far more to do about left-wing political activism, which is another reason not to watch the awards shows. Because if I want left-wing political activism, all I have to do is read the news. I don't need it in my, quote, entertainment, end quote. While that glittering facade of Hollywood's awards season revealed its true colors back on Friday night, exposing again the entertainment industry's selective approach to inclusivity and tolerance. Let's call it inclusivity and tolerance the way Hollywood sees it. So as celebrities gathered for the Critics' Choice Awards, the evening quickly transformed from a celebration of artistic achievement into yet another platform for partisan attacks. Now, the supposedly tolerant liberal elite showed their true colors as the ceremony unfolded at Santa Monica's Barker Hangar. And what followed would demonstrate exactly why President Donald Trump's recent executive actions on DEI programs aren't just necessary, they're overdue. And it was during her opening monologue that Chelsea Handler, serving her third consecutive year as host, I guess they couldn't get anybody better, launched what can only be described as a calculated attack on Melania Trump, our first lady, our beautiful and well-educated First Lady. So let that sink in for just a second here. A self-proclaimed DEI advocate mocking an immigrant woman's background for laughs, a woman who can speak 6 languages. You know, the hypocrisy of the left just never ceases to stun. So Handler is emceeing the awards show, and she says it was a huge year for biopics.
It was a huge year for biopics, a complete unknown about Bob Dylan, Maria, about Maria Callas, and Honora, about Melania Trump.
And then naturally, like trained seals, the entire audience laughs, and according to the IMDb website, Honora is a 2024 film about a young sex worker from Brooklyn who meets and impulsively marries the son of an oligarch. So, here again, it's Hollywood at its worst. You know, it's one thing for a certain industry. Let's just pick an industry, the auto workers, okay? We know pretty much how the auto workers line up when it comes to their political beliefs, and it's understandable. But you don't see the auto workers mocking the political party that they're not in line with. This isn't going on all the time. But Hollywood is constantly jabbing us and jabbing us and jabbing us. Have you noticed? Oh, sure you've noticed. Come on, everybody's noticed this. That commercials on TV have nothing but interracial marriages now. Now, it doesn't offend me. What offends me is the reason they're doing it. I was a partner in an interracial marriage for 32 years. That concept doesn't bother me at all. What bothers me is the fact that Hollywood is out there constantly trying to teach you and me lessons, trying to teach us diversity and inclusion, when they're probably the last bunch who should. So the same entertainment industry that routinely lectures us about sensitivity seem to have no problem with handlers degrading characterization of an immigrant first lady who speaks six languages. The hypocrisy was particularly striking when you consider handlers' self-identification as the evening's DEI host. You know, this is, again, typical Hollywood. Now, Chelsea Handler herself is no great talent. She's not bad. She's okay as a stand-up comic. But, you know, I wouldn't pay good money to see her when I could see somebody like Bill Engvall. You get the idea? And there are far better comics. So, this hypocrisy from Hollywood, which is constant, and it's nothing new. This has been going on for years. I remember back in the 1970s. When Marlon Brando, instead of getting up to accept his Oscar, he sent a Native American up to make some kind of a statement. And this mentality in Hollywood caught on big time because they thought, oh, this is great for showmanship. Let's do this. Let's turn all of our awards shows into political grandstanding and political activism. So if you're wondering why conservatives have been fighting against these DEI programs, I think I have a pretty good answer. This attack on Melania Trump by Chelsea Handler comes just weeks after Trump's January 22nd executive order eliminating discriminatory DEI practices from federal contracting. That's exactly what it was about. Discriminatory DEI practices. And the timing suggests more than coincidence. I mean, really, think about it. I think it uncovers the liberal establishment's growing frustration with the administration's successful reforms. It's like everything else that's going on right now. All of these Democrats were squawking the loudest, Pocahontas, Chuck Schumer, Adam Schiff, Maxine Waters, these people who are screaming the loudest about DOGE, well, the reason they're screaming, the reason they're all squalling like stuck pigs is because they know their corruption will be uncovered. And it'll be uncovered on two fronts. DOGE will do the initial uncovering because they're going to find this money that's been going to these people. For instance, Pocahontas and her marriage with Big Pharma. Same for Bernie Sanders. Now, this is going to be uncovered, and then Pam Bondi's DOJ will swoop in for the kill. That's what's going on here. And, I mean, you don't have to be particularly old to remember when the left claimed to champion immigrant women, right? They still claim to do that. But apparently that only applies to those who share the left's political views. And while some audience members laughed, you heard it there, at Handler's crude joke, social media erupted with justified outrage, thank goodness. I mean, it's Hollywood behaves as though social media doesn't exist, right? Conservative voices erupted and pointed out the double standard at play. Imagine similar comments being made about any other first lady or immigrant woman. I don't imagine it would go down all that well. So Melania, who's consistently conducted herself with grace under fire, beautiful, beautiful displays of poise, has continued to maintain a very dignified silence in the face of these attacks. Her response, or maybe lack thereof, stands in pretty big contrast to Handler's desperate bid for attention through mockery. Now, the incident, why am I making such a big deal out of this? The incident perfectly illustrates why President Trump's recent executive order on DEI was both necessary and timely, okay? When self-proclaimed champions of diversity feel comfortable mocking an immigrant woman's background for cheap laughs, it exposes the fundamental hypocrisy of their movement. Now, the First Lady's office has demonstrated real leadership through action rather than empty virtue signaling. Under Melania's direction, the East Wing has operated with efficiency, maintaining one of the leanest staffs in recent history while delivering meaningful results for the American people. You remember Michelle Obama? She had, 37 people on her staff? Really? For the office of the First Lady? Come on. And I would like to remind you on what we reported, about 2 weeks ago, when Melania Trump was out there in California with her hubby, and Melania was talking to a woman in a foreign language, a woman who lived there in one of the burned out areas. So in the end, Handler's joke reveals far more about Hollywood's biases than it does about its target. You know, because the entertainment industry claims to champion diversity and inclusion, all the while their actions consistently demonstrate contempt for anyone who doesn't share their political viewpoints. They want to be the puppet masters for the entire population of the United States of America through their entertainment, through their monologues, through the commercials that they produce. They want to tell you and me how to live. So as we red, white, and blue Americans witness this latest display of liberal hypocrisy, we can all take comfort in knowing that their president is actively working to restore merit-based standards and genuine equality under the law. Perhaps that's what really has Handler and her Hollywood colleagues so upset. For the last several years, when we discussed the prospects of Donald Trump draining the swamp, we've also discussed what a tremendously huge job that was going to be, and even discussed whether or not it was possible to do at all. And this story dropped at the beginning of the week where DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, she's terrific, unleashed a scathing attack on the FBI, accusing the agency of corruption and endangering American lives. Now, understand, Kash Patel has not yet been approved to take over the FBI, the management of the FBI. And so that's a process that's still in limbo. But this accusation comes in response to leaked plans for ICE raids, targeting illegal immigrants, of course. And in this particular case, this is in L.A., raising some pretty serious questions about the integrity of federal law enforcement agencies and their commitment to national security. Now, Kristi Noem didn't mince words when addressing the alleged FBI leak of sensitive ICE operation details. I mean, she took right away, she took to social media, which is the best place to go for this, really. And she was pissed. She called the FBI corrupt and vowed to take action against anyone responsible. And I believe her. I think she will. You ever look at that woman's resting face? She's got that face that says, don't even try to screw around with me. Now, let's get to the case here. The leaked information, which was first reported by the LA Times, believe it or not, detailed plans for a large-scale immigration enforcement operation in LA. Now, this operation was set to target individuals without legal status or with pending removal orders, okay? So we're talking about a legal move. So Noam's response to the leak was almost immediate, and it was very decisive. Make no mistake about that. I mean, she called for immediate action against what she termed crooked deep state agents responsible for jeopardizing the operation. Now, to people who are sympathizers with the far left, still working within the government, personally, if I had a way to do it, I would warn them, you better watch yourself, because this time next year, you may be in jail. And it's interesting the way she phrased this. She said, the FBI is so corrupt, we'll work with any and every agency to stop leaks and prosecute these crooked deep state agents to the fullest extent of the law. Slam dunk. That is the way you handle it. Now, the severity of Noam's accusations alone really shows or showcases the gravity of the situation. Leaks of this type not only compromise the effectiveness of law enforcement operations, but also puts the lives of agents themselves at risk. And we can't have that. So naturally, and this is the way a good administration would work, Attorney General Pam Bondi echoed Noam's concerns. She immediately jumped into the fray, thank goodness. And she emphasized the dangers posed by leaks like this. And she promised swift action against those responsible. And she referred to it as undermining law enforcement efforts. And that's exactly what it is. So, I don't know. This is really getting, I'm gonna pull out an old term we used to use back in the 80s and 90s. This is getting gnarly. So, you know, if anyone leaks anything, people don't understand that it jeopardizes the lives of our great men and women in law enforcement. That's Pam Bondi speaking there. And she says, and if you leaked it, we're going to find out who you are. We're going to come after you. It's not going to stop our mission. It's not going to stop the president's mission to make America safe again. And that was an official statement from Pam Bondi. You notice it wasn't elitist language. I mean, she went right for it. And it sends a clear message that leaks that endanger law enforcement operations will not be tolerated. I don't think you can make it any clearer than that. And she even suggested that actions warning illegal immigrants of impending ICE operations or raids could potentially be considered obstruction of justice. Now, the leaked document circulated among government officials indicated that FBI and DEA agents were being called to assist in the operation. Now, this collaboration highlights the scale and importance of the planned enforcement action. So, right now, it's fair to assume there are probably thousands upon thousands of left-leaning government employees who are more than happy to pass along these leaks. The actions of Secretary Noam and AG Bondi actually demonstrate a commitment to rooting out corruption and ensuring the safety of both law enforcement officers and law-abiding citizens. And this goes to the rest of our government. It's like I mentioned in the first segment. These people who are squawking the loudest, your Chuck Schumers, your Adam Schiffs, your Pocahontases, you know, your Elizabeth Warrens, Maxine Waters, Bernie Sanders, these people squawking the loudest about not just DEI, but draining the swamp, these are your most corrupt people. It's like the old Shakespeare line, methinks they doth protest too much. I would imagine by anybody's analysis, President Trump has been a very busy guy. For instance, he called for the Federal Emergency Management Agency, you know, FEMA, which really stands for failure to effectively manage anything, to be abolished. Did you catch that? He wants to abolish FEMA, saying that states should manage disaster response independently for greater efficiency and cost savings. And you think about that concept and you realize the man is right. I mean, who knows better than the states where the disasters take place? What's the most effective way to rebuild, to provide relief for people who need it? However, when it comes to California, I'm not so sure, okay? Also, Elon Musk appeared alongside Trump at the Oval Office and said that the DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, has discovered waste and fraud in more government agencies. What is it they've managed to trim so far? $3.4 billion? And the King of Jordan committed to airlifting 2,000 sick and at-risk children from the Gaza Strip to his country amid this push by Trump to relocate the Palestinian population to Jordan and Egypt and for the U.S. to take over the area. I don't know how that's going to go down, but it's going to be real interesting to watch. Mark Fogel, a history teacher sentenced to 14 years in Russian jail, was back on American soil Tuesday night after Trump's Middle East envoy negotiated an exchange with Moscow. Wouldn't you just once or twice like to be able to be privy to the conversation that actually manages to pull something like that off? Wow. Let's see what else we got here for you. Yeah, DOGE has made over $3.4 billion in cuts so far, and they keep digging. The latest numbers, they were provided on the 11th, which was Tuesday, include $59 million that FEMA staff sent to house illegal immigrants. You heard about this. $59 million sent to house illegal immigrants in luxury hotels in New York City. And the White House has sought to claw back that money. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off. Who knows? And the list also includes a variety of diversity, equity, and inclusion DEI contracts and grants, many in the Department of Education, as well as moves against DEI-related directives and policies deemed as out of step with the new administration's priorities. Go get them. On the first day of his new presidency, Trump issued an executive order against DEI in federal government, and that's a good place to start. One item is a $45 million DEI scholarship in Myanmar, also known as Burma. I like Burma. That flows off the lips. Myanmar, not so much, right? But the White House also touts $500,000 in canceled subscriptions to Politico Pro, as well as funding to the New York Times and the Associated Press. Boy, that is so corrupt. But more power to those media outlets. If they can pull it off, great. But there's a new sheriff in town. Ain't going to happen anymore. Oh, yeah. There are lease cancellations and canceled consulting contracts that you can add to the multi-billion-dollar savings. And this is already, what, we're 3 weeks into DOGE's inception? Temporary Executive Branch Commission has also been promoting its findings and presidentially approved actions on X. Musk joined Trump in the Oval Office as our president signed an executive order further empowering DOGE. And standing beside Trump, Musk defended the work of his organization, saying he seeks common sense controls on the federal bureaucracy. And to those people who are bitching, I didn't vote for Elon Musk. Yeah, well, none of us voted on the FBI. None of us voted on the CIA. None of us voted on the Federal Reserve, but we've got it. I mean, that's how a republic works, right? And Musk emphasized, too, he says the people voted for major government reform. So, I mean, yeah, this was a mandate on the part of the American people. Trump also signed an executive order directing all agency heads to work with DOGE to cut staff and limit hiring in the federal government. Oh, DOE, Department of Education, verified Tuesday that Doge has canceled. Listen to this. Doge has canceled 89 multi-year contracts for the Institute for Education Sciences, totaling about $900 million, and 29 contracts related to diversity, equity, and inclusion training in education, totaling $101 million. I mean, this is getting really serious, and I'm loving it. At least 70,000 federal workers have opted into the Trump administration's buyout offer. This was as of Tuesday, and that was according to a White House official. The federal government's dismantling of the U.S. Agency for International Development, you know, USAID, has largely left the agency pretty much unable to oversee billions in unspent aid. According to a government watchdog, USAID is going down. It's going. They've already been evicted from their building. The building has been renamed. See, what else we got? Oh, yeah, former FEMA employee who issued a directive for workers not to inspect homes with Trump signs in the aftermath of Hurricane Milton there in Florida violated the Hatch Act. And this is according to a Tuesday complaint filed by the Office of Special Counsel. People are going to go to jail. Ha, ha, ha. The Department of Homeland Security fired FEMA's chief financial officer and three others responsible for authorizing that $59 million payment to funding the housing of illegal aliens in luxury New York hotels. Jeez. And how much would you or I have to pay to spend a night in New York City? What do you want to bet? It isn't going to be cheap. And then Trump said he would move to roll back Biden-era standards for light bulbs and appliances. I kind of like my LED bulbs now that they've finally figured out how to make them so that they have a decent color to them. You remember the early LED bulbs that were so bright white? I mean, they're just, oh my God, you had to wear your sunglasses. I refused to buy those things. Unfortunately, at that time, incandescent bulbs were still obtainable. But now they've got that LED technology down to something that we can actually live with. And I like the fact that LED bulbs are cool and they don't burn up as much energy. I mean, I'm not against efficiency by any means. I mean, that's what Doge is all about, right? That's about government efficiency. Well, I'm about efficiency myself. I want good gas mileage on my car. I want an efficient air conditioning system for my house. Nothing hard to understand there. And finally, two top officials in the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau resigned from their positions after the Trump administration suspended funding. I guess they didn't have much choice now, did they? Let's move on over to the Comedy Corner and Bill Engvall.
And then she drugged me to a Renaissance fair. Holy God. I don't know if you've ever been to one of these things, but after an hour there, I now know why Romeo and Juliet killed themselves. It's just this collection of goobers that are my age. Grown men, y'all, wearing tights and a blouse and speaking in this weird English. And the only reason I even went is because she said there'd be beer there. So. And listen, if you like these things, God bless you. Go have a great time. Just don't ask me to go. Because, like my best friend, he's into that stuff. And he's into, every summer, he goes to a Civil War reenactment. And every year he picks the South. I'm like, dude, you lost the first time. At least pick a winning team. And so one year he talked me into going, and there's only one thing worse than a reenactment to me. It's a bad one. And this one was just cheesy. I mean, the guy that was leading the charges couldn't even lead the charge because the battery on his rascal was dead. Yeah, and the northern flag had 50 stars. The southern flag wasn't any better. It was just a pillowcase with a picture of Hank Williams Jr. on it. But my friend was like all in. He's like, dude, this is just the way it was. I go, no, it's not. He goes, yeah, it is. This is authentic. And I go, I don't think Confederate soldiers used to light cigarettes with Lynyrd Skynyrd lighters. He goes, come on, man, we're doing the Battle of Bull Run today. Pick a character. And I go, no, I don't want to play. He goes, come on, Bill, you're here. Just pick a character. And I go, all right, General Patton. He goes, General Patton wasn't at the Battle of Bull Run. And I go, exactly. Listen, you want me to go to reenactment? Let's reenact the first night I got laid. That was a great night. I'll even wear the uniform. Platform shoes, bell-bottom pants. Well, I appreciate your laughter. You put me in a good mood. because I'm in the doghouse again. Well, I think we're going to get kicked out of our church. I know, and we just joined. When you join a church, they'll usually have like a potluck dinner, and they'll invite existing members to have dinner with you, and then you play a game. We had this wonderful dinner, and then the preacher goes, all right, we're going to play trivia. And I love trivia, music trivia, sports trivia, history, whatever. I love it, and I'm very competitive, and I like to win. He gets to our table. Here was our question. Where do women have the curliest hair? Apparently, the answer is Fiji.
Have a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.